Welcome back. You're here with Dave and Rob. You're on More Than Money on 770 CHQR. Rob, we often talk, so this show's about more than money, right? So it's about finance and it's about lifestyle. And when we talk about retirement, we talk about the various phases of a family's financial life cycle, and all of us will get to that final phase, right? The final phase is when we have to transition our estate and any assets that are left over to the next generation, how to do that, right? And there's considerations around tax, there's considerations around around family dynamics, there's considerations around...
the gift itself.
How the gift, what gift you're giving and how it's received. Really, it's actually a fairly complex issue that I think many people, they don't think about, and sometimes it can become too late. Now, we're joined by Catherine Zhang, who's been a long-term recurring guest and content provider around estates and whatnot. And Catherine, it's been a while, but we're happy to have you back. Thanks for joining us. So Catherine is a partner at Walsh LLP and is a trusted resource of ours. Catherine, I'm going to start with a bit of a scenario. We had a listener reach out to us, and it was a bit of a, I think, a tricky situation, and we'll get some general guidance from you on this. I'm not going to go through all the specifics of it, but essentially, here's the problem is a parent passed away. The estate, as they're winding it up, has some liabilities against it. And it turns out not enough assets to cover all of the liabilities. Now, the question is, when you run into a situation like that, and I'm not sure lots of people do, you can maybe comment on it, but when you run into a situation like that, what happens? What are the considerations? What does this person need to think about? Who's on the hook for the money? And what exposure does, say, an executor have?
Those are great questions, and it's not an uncommon situation that we get calls or inquiries about. I think the first thing we always walk through with executors is, number one, determine whether or not you're prepared to administer the estate, having regard to what you know about it. So if you have the feeling that, yeah, there might be some creditors outstanding at the end of the day, just have a think about whether or not you're prepared to proceed. Because especially in those circumstances, certainly the creditors and the beneficiaries of the estate are going to be watching the accounts very closely to make sure that if there isn't any money at the end of the day, that those pennies have been accounted for. If the executor has confirmed, notwithstanding all of that information, that yes, they'd still like to proceed, and we often get that family members are really interested in making sure their loved ones' affairs are settled properly. And so to give the rest of the family peace of mind, I think a lot of executors do decide to proceed. And we say, as long as you have made sure that you've notified all the creditors appropriately and you've dealt with all of the assets appropriately, if there is still money owed at the end of the day, that is not something that you are personally liable for. The caveat being, of course, is it is really important to have discussions with those creditors, and there in the legislation, the Estate Administration Act, there is some guidance to executors on how assets should be distributed amongst creditors, and it depends on if they're secured or not. It depends on what type of assets are being gifted in the estate, whether they're specific bequests or whether it's a general bequest. So there are some rules about that. Nevertheless, if the executor has not properly communicated with all of the executors and beneficiaries, and they've gone ahead and distributed an asset that they shouldn't have, there is a potential for liability. So I think underscoring that is, it's really important to get some advice on what you should be doing if you're an executor in that position.
Yeah, it can. These are the kinds of tricky situations that you want to try to avoid. Interested to hear your comment, Catherine, that it's a little bit more frequent. Now, how would somebody know? So it raises an interesting question about the role of the executor, because you said something interesting at the beginning. You have a choice, even if you're named by surprise as an executor, of whether you confirm the role that you'll take it on or you don't. Maybe speak to that particular, that first decision that needs to be made by an executor when it's time to administer an estate.
Yeah, and oftentimes that is the first consideration that needs to happen. So if you are notified that a loved one or a friend has passed away and that you've been named as executor, often what we hear is that person will go out and start notifying the banks and say, you know, I'm listed in the will, I need to get an understanding of what the assets and liabilities are. Well, by doing that, you've already stepped in the role of the executor. So what we talk to clients about is, even before you contact anybody, perhaps what you should do is contact, get some legal advice to figure out whether it makes sense for you to act as executor. There is a mechanism in place that allows you to say, you know what, I'm actually not comfortable with taking on this role. I would like to renounce. And then that appointment goes to the second named person, if there is that appointment in the will. A law office can certainly help you draw up the document to confirm that, no, you do not want to be that person. You know, connected with that is, well, how do I know if I don't know what the assets and liabilities are? What if whether I take on that role is contingent on that? What we've done in the past is we've really carefully crafted some letters to banks and, you know, other asset financial institutions or other asset holders to say, this person understands that they are named, they are not making an inquiry as an executor, and we just want to understand the status of the estate. And in that way, they can properly, if they decide not to take on the role, they can properly confirm that they haven't intermeddled in the estate, which is some legalese for saying, I haven't represented to anybody in the world that I am the executor and have received information that I would otherwise not be entitled to.
There's great points on the piece when it is contested, right? When there's issues, when there's issues of the will and then they've come up after the fact. We have a lot of conversations with clients about, you know, what certain things they can do as a family conversation develop in legal documents before. And maybe you can give some pointers to the listeners on, you know, what can you do to set up before so these things don't happen?
I think the big one is if you are under the impression that there are a couple of people that want to compete to be your executor, which that one's more rare. I think a lot of people now are understanding that being an executor takes a lot of work. The first thing you do is make sure you have a will, because at the end of the day, the will is your legal direction and it's a legal document that sets out who has the priority to act if something happens to you. The second thing you want to do, and this is particularly for clients who are older, who might be transitioning into seniors home assisted living and thinking about invoking some other documents or the help of people to deal with their finances and healthcare while they're still alive. For those individuals, you want to make sure that if you draft a will, you've protected the integrity of the document as much as you can. So you want to make sure you've got the legal advice so that that lawyer can say, yeah, I confirm that they had capacity. You know, that lawyer hopefully is helping to mark down notes about if there is some disagreement, what your intentions were with respect to a certain asset. And also that legal advice or that lawyer hopefully is helping to make sure that an interested party is not in the same room when you're getting your legal documents drafted and signed and witnessed. Those are all the things that people fight about on the back end. Mm-hmm. So we try and make sure those particular factors are not factors at play when somebody's passed away.
Yeah. Catherine, I mean, it's such a complex issue. We have to leave it there for today's discussion. But thank you for giving some clarity around that. This is an ongoing conversation that we'll continue to have with you. And as always, we appreciate you shedding some light on various aspects of that planning process. And I think just reminding everybody that, Rob, if If you'll sit down in advance and do some of the work up front, it's going to save a whole bunch of problems and potential work costs on the back end for the people that you leave behind. Because nobody says, the gift I want to leave behind is a nightmare or a legal fight or, you know, complexity or anything like that. So, Catherine, thank you again today. We'll continue the conversation. We look forward to having you back on soon.
It's always a pleasure. Thank you.
We've been joined by Catherine Zhang, who's a partner at Walsh LLP, and talking about some of the complexities of estate planning. Now, you know, there are four phases to a person's financial life cycle. There's the accumulation phase, right? It's the retirement risk zone, plus or minus 10 years of that period, you know, that point you call retirement. There's living through retirement. There's some complexity in that period. We call it a singular phase, Rob, but you and I know, having done this hundreds of times, things change a lot through that period we call retirement. And then, of course, there's this period at the end where you're transitioning wealth and assets to the next generation. We have to talk about all those things and have a strategy and a plan in place to ensure that, you know, you've got the best quality of retirement life that you possibly can. And we're going to talk about that framework at our upcoming seminar.
Yeah, our next seminar, join us Tuesday, August 16th, 7 p.m. This will be live online. Go to morethanmoneyradio.com to register.
Okay, stick around after the break. We want to talk a little bit about, with all the volatility in the market today, when we use the word strategy, what does that mean? How is strategy and tactics different? Very interesting, can help protect you against making bad moves in your portfolio. You're on 770 CHQR in More Than Money.